Welcome to the South Cars Outreach Program. Join our training session in progress.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I want to welcome you to the Outreach Program sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and further assist those wishing to upgrade licensed status. The program tonight will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for a general class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m. 2300 Zulu each Tuesday and at 7 p.m. 2300 Zulu each Sunday evening. For those that are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please connect to our SCARS server, S-C-A-R-S, at either Echolink node number 96140, IRLP node 9614, or Offshore node AST27404. For those who are interested, please contact Mike KD0CDQ via email at VOIP@voipnet.southcars.com to enroll in the class and be given directions as to the study material required and the manner you will be connecting into the course. The material being presented is formulated from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the class and session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program at, once again, voip@voipnet.southcars.com. Let me take a pause. It should be mentioned that this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing sessions on this server, please drop us an email at voip@voipnet.southcars.com. The session this evening will be recorded and posted on our website at www.voip.southcars.com. Now please note, for all of our class members and instructors, it's extremely important that we all stay on the same page during these classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in this class should be the one found posted on our website. Publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during our sessions. So now, do we have any emergency or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? If so, come aboard. Well, hearing no emergency or out of the ordinary business, we're about ready to start. My name is Kathy. I'll be one of your instructors this evening. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and our other instructor is KD0CDQ Mike there in Olathe, Kansas. My location is Port St. Lucie, Florida, where the temperature is still about 91 degrees, about a high of about 95 today, but a very beautiful day. So as far as I understand, Mike will be starting with the questions this evening. So I'm going to, at this point, throw it his direction so he can begin. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, KD0CDQ. Please come aboard.
Good evening, Kathy, and thank you for doing the intro. This is KD0CDQ. Before I go into the first question, let's have everybody just lay back a little bit. We have, on this exam for the general, it's only 35 questions. 35 questions in the test, and the passing would require 26 correct. Now, 26 correct out of 35, when I use my little calculator, comes out to about 74%. So all we're looking for is a middle C. A middle C, and you got your ticket. As I recall, when Kathy comes back, she can probably remind me, I think she aced this general test. I think this was the one she got them all right, scaring everybody. So let's keep that in mind. So I'm going to let it drop, and then I will start with G7α08, letting it drop. Okay, we're in the G7α group, which is power supplies and schematic symbols. So Gulf 7 Alpha 08 reads, which of the following is an advantage of a switch mode power supply as compared to a linear power supply. The selection alpha is faster switching time makes lighter, higher output voltage possible. Bravo, fewer circuit components are required. And Charlie, high frequency operation allows the use of smaller components. And the question, the answer Kathy always likes is Delta. All of these choices are correct. But in this case, they are not. In this one, Charlie is the right answer. High frequency operation allows the use of smaller components. So I'm going to explain switch mode or switch mode supplies. Power supplies that use capacitors or inductor input filters and linear voltage regulators to provide filtering and regulation are called linear supplies. Another type of power supply filter and regulator circuits uses high frequency pulse of currents to control the output voltage. This is a switch mode supply or switching power supply. A switching supply, that's what most of us may have with your HF rig. That's what I use. A transistor switch then supplies current pulse to a small inductor or transformer at a very high frequency, 20 kilohertz or more, compared to 60 kilohertz for a linear supply, which transfers the energy into another filter capacitor that smooths the pulse for a steady output voltage. The high frequency also means that small, lightweight inductors and transformers can be used to smooth the pulse and filter the output. The filter capacitors can also be much smaller than the linear supply because the rapid charging pulse means that they do not need to store so much energy. So the answer on that one, which of the following is the advantage of a switch mode supply as compared to a linear power supply? Answer Charlie. High frequency operation allows the use of smaller components. Are there any questions? Go now, please. Okay. Let's give it over to Kathy. K6SUN has the next question. Over.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. And I want to say a big hello to Mike, WA1NXI. Actually, Mike there in Olathe, he had surgery today, and he says he's laid back in the hospital listening. So I wanted to tell him hello, and we're thinking of him. But as far as taking the general license test, Mike, I actually got one wrong. And the whole reason was is because I changed my answer. Something we always tell our students we don't want to do. If you know it's the correct answer and you're almost positive, unless you think it's not, you don't want to change that answer. And that's how I got that one wrong. But my extra, I got 100% on. So let me drop it here, and then I'm going to go into G7 Alpha 01. All right, my question is Gulf 7 Alpha 01. And as we told you in the past, if you're looking at the test questions, you will always see the answer following this the question number so that you always know what the correct answer is. But it reads, what useful feature does a power supply bleeder resistor provide? And our choices are Alpha, it acts as a fuse for excess voltage. Bravo, it ensures that the filter capacitors are discharged when power is removed. Charlie, it removes shock hazards from the induction coil. And Delta, it eliminates the ground loop current. Your correct answer here is a Bravo. It ensures that the filter capacitors are discharged when power is removed. Now, this question is important to take note of. Without a bleeder resistor, your filter capacitors can stay charged for a long time. Repairing or troubleshooting a supply of this nature can be dangerous and requires you to discharge the capacitors manually before working on the unit. So with that, do we have any questions or any comments? All right, hearing no comments or questions, I'm going to throw it to you, Mike, and as far as I understand, you're working on G7 Alpha 11, and you also have the next question, the next two questions. So it's your turn. Over to KD0CDQ from Kilo 6 Sierra, United November.
Thank you, Kathy. We're introduced to electric components while studying in a technical exam, and in this section we learn more. We learn some more basic characteristics of transistors, capacitors, inductors, and transformers. The symbols that represent each type of component on electrical schematics are presented. Now, again, if you go to our website, there's a page I would download. It's called Common Schematic Symbols Used in Circuit Diagrams. I keep reminding everybody, copy that. Keep it handy. And also, we're now going to have a question that refers to the diagram. There's a diagram on this test, and there's a possible 5 questions that can be on the diagram, so it's not a lot of questions. You might not even get one. This section, this Gulf 7 section, has 3 questions on the exam. And the likelihood that you even get one of these is slim, but there's, again, only 5 from the schematic, so it's not going to be too terrible. I'm going to let it drop, and then we'll do G7 Alpha 11. Okay, G7 Alpha 11, and again, I have them in the text box in case you're not, I'm not clear when I say the question. It's in the text box for you to read. Which symbol in figure G7-1 represents an NPN junction transistor? Is the symbol 1, 2, 7, or 11? You see those symbols? They got little numbers next to them. In this one, the symbol in figure 7, G7-1, represents an NPN junction transistor is Bravo. Symbol 2, you see it's over on the right-hand side, kind of center. That's the answer to that one. And in all schematics, electrical schematics, we always read from left to right. So the circuit, no matter how big that piece of paper is with the diagram on it, it always starts on the left and finishes off on the right. Okay, that kind of makes it simple for us, I guess. Is there any questions regarding that question and that answer? Over. All right, I've got the next one. Now we're into Gulf 7 Bravo, which is digital circuits, amplifiers, and oscillators. And the question we'll be reviewing is Gulf 7 Bravo 02. Which of the following is an advantage of using the binary system when processing digital signals? A, binary ones and zeros are easy to represent by an on or off state. Or Bravo, the binary number system is most accurate. Charlie, binary symbols are more compatible with analog circuitry. Or D, again, all of these choices are correct. Again, that's not the right answer, that final one. It's alpha. Binaries, remember, ones and zeros are easy to represent by an on or off state. And in digital integrated circuit operation with discrete values of voltage and current representing the binary number system, they use the values of zeros or one. Digital electronic circuits operate with only 2 stable states of operation, on or off, representing binary values. By combining digital circuitry, these values can be used to perform computations or control functions. Again, it's a zero or a one, on or off. Any questions regarding that question? Over. Not hearing anyone? Going back to case 6, S-U-N. Kathy, I think you've got the next one. Over.
All right, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and my question is Gulf 7 Bravo 08. And it reads, how is the efficiency of an RF power amplifier determined? And our 4 choices are alpha, divide the DC input power by the DC output power. Bravo, divide the RF output power by the DC input power. Charlie, multiply the RF input power by the reciprocal of the RF output power. Or Delta, add the RF input power to the DC output power. And your correct answer in this case is Bravo. And, you know, I want to just make a comment. If there is something in the question that gives you a clue to something in the answer, if you can't figure it out, you know, just look for something in that question, that answer. You know, like the previous one Mike was doing, I remember that was one of my tests, and the binary ones and zeros was a real good clue for me. So remember, the input power can be found by using the formula of P equals E x 1. or EXI, the output power can be read with a watt meter. So with that, I'm going to throw it out once again to see if we have any comments before I move into the next question. All right, hearing nothing, let's move into the next question. And this is Gulf 7, Charlie 03. And it reads, what circuit is used to process signals from the RF amplifier and local oscillator, then send the result to the IF filter in a super heterodyne receiver? That is quite a mouthful for me. But here's your choices. Alpha is balanced modulator. Bravo is IF amplifier. C is mixer. And Delta is detector. And the correct answer for this long question that is a mouthful is mixer. Charlie, mixer. Remember that the signal from the antenna is mixed with the local oscillator, producing a sum and difference signal that matches the IF frequency. So once again, let me throw it out there for questions or comments. If there are none, Mike, you are now starting into G7C about receivers and transmitters. So any questions, any comments? Hearing nothing, I'm going to throw it over to Mike for the next. He's heading into a new series, G7 Charlie, Receiver and Transmitters, Filters and Oscillators. So with that, Mike, KD0CDQ, why don't you take this question?
Thank you, Kathy, for introducing this section. Remember, this is South Coast Amateur Radio Service. We're doing the general class. We'll be covering 12 questions each evening that we're on the air. And so we're breezing through the Gulf 7 Charlie section. And the next question is Gulf 7 Charlie 07. What is the simplest combination of stages that implement a superheterodyne receiver? Is it A, the RF amplifier, detector, audio amplifier? Is it Bravo, RF amplifier, mixer, IF discriminator, a lot of stuff here. Charlie, HF oscillator, mixer or detector, or D, HF oscillator, prescaler, or an audio amplifier? What they're asking here, what's the simplest combination of stages that implements a superheterodyne receiver? And the answer here is Charlie, is HF oscillator, mixer, and detector. Now, one of the questions Kathy just covered, received signals are first strengthened by an RF amplifier and then amplified by an RF input of the mixer. That was G7 Charlie 03. So don't get mixed up on these questions. Now, this one, it's oscillator, mixer, and detector. The local oscillator, which is called an LO, is adjusted so that the desired signal creates a mixing product at the intermediate frequency, the IF, intermediate frequency. The IF filter removes signals outside the receiver's passband, and whatever signals remain are amplified by the IF amplifier. The detractor, or demodulator stage, follows the IF to recover the modulating information. The simplest possible superheterodyne consists of a mixer connected to an antenna, an HF oscillator to act as a LO, oscillator, and a detector that operates directly on the resulting IF signal. So don't get mixed up on these. So that you don't get confused on test day, do a little memorization here. The last question, the answer was a mixer, and on this one, it's HF oscillator, mixer, and detector. And I'll warn you again, the ABCDs, they can be shuffled around. The same answers are on the test, but the ABCD changes. The location of the answer changes. So be aware of that. Any questions on this question? Over. Okay, I think we're going back to Kathy. Kathy, I think you got sub-element G8 now you're into. Go ahead, please.
All right, thank you, Mike. And yes, sub-element G8, signals and emissions, and it covers carriers and modulation, AM, FM, single sideband, modulation envelope, digital modulation, and over modulation. And my question, the number is G8, Golf 8 Alpha 03. That's Golf 8 Alpha 03, and it reads, what is the name of the process that changes the instantaneous frequency of an RF wave to convey information? Our choices are alpha frequency convolution, bravo frequency transformation, Charlie frequency conversion, and delta frequency modulation. Now, the delta is your correct answer, frequency modulation. Just remember here that in FM modulation, the audio feed to the oscillator results in the frequency being shifted. And like what Mike was saying, if there's something in that question that gives you a clue to the answer through memorization, and that works for you to pass that test, that's the way to go. But at this point, you know, like I told you last time, you're 6 classes halfway through. You should start thinking of getting in and doing some of those practice tests just to see how you're doing. So with that, do we have any comments, any questions? All right, hearing no comments and no questions. The next question is yours, Mike, and it's Golf 8 Alpha 07. KD0CDQ, why don't you do this question for us?
Thank you, Kathy. It's KD0CDQ. Okay, Golf 8 Alpha 07. Which of the following phone emissions uses the narrowest bandwidth? Which uses the least amount of bread here, the narrowest bandwidth? Is it alpha, single sideband, B, double sideband, C, phase modulation, or D, frequency modulation? Well, the narrowest bandwidth is alpha in this case, single sideband. I'm not going to give you the complicated answer to that. I'll just say that the FCC limits signal bandwidth so that many stations and types of signals can share a limited amount of spectrum space. So we only have but so much space, so many frequencies that we can use in a band. So some of it is, well, basically reserved for like a CW, some's for digital, some's for voice. So they use single sideband, which can be upper sideband and lower. Now, this is an interesting thing. I won't get into how it all became designed to be this way. It wasn't a natural thing. But upper and lower, if you think of a signal like a line down the middle, looking pretty much, a straight line, it's upper and there's lower. So what they did was they split the signal into an upper and a lower. Now, upper sideband is used on some frequencies, some bands, shall I say. On some bands, the upper is used, and on other bands, the lower sideband is used, upper and lower. So be sure that you check your chart to make sure you're on the right band, upper or lower, or you won't hear a thing, and nobody will hear you. I've had that happen on about 2 weeks ago. I was on a Salvation Army band, and this fellow was desperately trying to get in, and he couldn't get in. He was on the lower sideband in error. He should have been on the upper with the rest of us. And so he emailed me, so he realized after the net was finished that he was on the lower sideband instead of upper. So watch that so you don't get embarrassed. So wait, when you make a chart of the bands that you're going to be on, the frequencies you're going to be on, the nets, put the UBC, upper, or LBC, lower, so upper or lower, right in next to the band, because you don't forget until it gets into your head. Okay, any questions on single sideband being the narrowest bandwidth? Over. Anyone that has a question? Okay. We're now into Golf 8 Bravo, which is frequency mixing, multiplication, bandwidths of various modes, deviation, and duty cycles. And the question I'm picking up is Golf 7 Bravo 07. This is Bravo 07. What is the frequency deviation for a 12.21 megahertz reactance modulated oscillator in a 5 kilohertz deviation on a 146.52 megahertz FM phone transmitter? Now, there's a long answer to this one, but I'm not going to give you the long answer. Let me give you the selection here. Alpha is 101.75 hertz, Bravo is 416.7 hertz, and Charlie is 5 kilohertz, and Delta is 60 kilohertz. Now, I've got a two-paragraph answer written here, but I'm not going to bore you with the two-paragraph answer. I'm just going to tell you that if you get this question and there's others that are similar, you see it's not far away, the 146.52 megahertz in the question, and the answer is 416.7. I see a lot of numbers in there. I think they're trying to help us. The numbers, the digits are switched around, but you see 146, 416, they just bounced it around a little bit. So if you get that question, don't go into thinking of how do I get to the answer. Just realize that they made that nice and simple, so don't make it complicated. I noticed that on other questions like this, they do the same thing. They pick frequencies that they can use a number that makes it simple for you to memorize. Remember, the people that make these exams, the DECs, they're our friends, they're hams, they're not enemies, they're not out to get us, they're out to help us. They want us in the club, they want us in the program, they want us in the hobby. So they don't make the questions terribly difficult. We make them terribly difficult, okay? So just take your time, and with that one, I just remember those numbers are switched around, so just look for the answer and go on your way. Any questions with that one? Well, I didn't hear any questions, so I'm going to throw this thing back over to Kathy. Kathy, I think you're up with the next question. Go ahead, please.
Well, thanks, Mike, and actually I believe we only have a couple questions left, and this is my last one. But I also have a suggestion for that last question. Just by what Mike was saying, look at that number, something in that number that gives you a clue in your answers. And I guess I would say there's no number there that is above the 146 except the 416. So that would be a good clue there for you, too. So let me take just a pause, and I'm going to do my final question for the evening. All right, my question is Golf 8, Bravo 10. It reads, what is the relationship between transmitted symbol rate and bandwidth? And our choices are alpha, symbol rate, and bandwidth are not related. Bravo, higher symbol rates require wider bandwidth. Charlie, lower symbol rates require wider bandwidth. Delta, bandwidth is always half the symbol rate. And your correct answer is Bravo. Higher symbol rates require wider bandwidth. This is felt to be self-explanatory. The higher the number, the more the bandwidth. So with that, I want to thank you, Mike, for allowing me to ride along with you during this week. And I believe Gordon and I will be up next week. So you're hearing a lot of me lately. I'm going to throw it out there, see if we have any comments or any questions on any of the questions we've gone over so far this evening. Well, hearing nothing, actually, the last question is yours, Mike, and you're heading into Golf 8, Charlie, digital emission modes. And like I said, it's been a pleasure riding along with you, and I'll throw it over to you for the last question.
Thank you, Kathy. This is KD0CDQ. It's always beautiful to hear a woman's voice on the voice on the amateur radio. When it's contests, I think you guys notice it's like a magnet. When you hear a woman's voice, it kind of makes your ear stand up, kind of like a rabbit or something. And so it's more crisp and clear, I think. And Kathy has a very lovely voice. I often wonder over the years what her students think if she used the same tone with her students in school, because it is a relaxing, it is a very distinct and a very understandable tone that Kathy uses. You know, sometimes we guys kind of mumble, but Kathy doesn't mumble. She's very crisp and clear and is like a bell ringing to me. It's very joyful, a good voice to listen to. Letting it drop. All right, here's the last question for the evening in the Golf 8 Charlie digital emission mode section. It's Golf 8 Charlie 09. Oh, I got a couple of numbers I put in there, didn't I? Okay. Now, what the question, what does the number 31 represent in PSK31? A, the approximate transmitted symbol rate. B, the version of the PSK protocol. Charlie, the year in which PSK was invented, year 31. D, the number of characteristics that can be represented by PSK31. The answer is alpha there. The approximate transmission symbol rate. Now the 31 in PSK31 refers to the speed at which the protocol operates 31.25 baud. It's 31.25 baud, so they came up with 31. This may sound quite slow, but PSK31 is designed for keyboard-to-keyboard communication and it's sufficient to keep up with most typists. They don't want you to go, you know, a mile a minute. I can't do 31 characters a minute. I don't know if I can or not. I haven't tried it. But I know when I'm typing, I'm nowhere near going over the top. Note, there are numerous other digital modes in the HF, VHF, and UHF band. Another popular one is PSK63, which is like twice as fast. If you do PSK31, now tonight at 9 o'clock, I'll be doing a net that's PSK31 with the Salvation Army, and that's all symbols, so we're typing back and forth, so it shows on our screen what we're saying, so it's clear to pick up information. We can send information back and forth in text form, which is easier to understand. And at 31, we just type back and forth to one another, but 63 is faster. So we use these micros, these little statements are already loaded in the machine. So when we push a key, which is F1, F2, up through F12, we push a key, and then the information just hits the screen. And it goes on there like a bullet. That's the 63. It's very fast. But we just take our time with the 31. We just type along at 31. Anyone have any questions about PSK 31 or this question? Please go now. Okay, we haven't been getting questions from students, so the evenings have been going quicker. Normally, in past years, these sessions take about an hour, almost an hour. But we've been doing them in about half or a little more than half because we haven't been getting any questions. But remember, these sessions are on the net, so you can go back at your own leisure when you've got time. You can go over them again and get a feel for what's happening. I think it's always encouraging when other people are trying to help us with something rather than trying to do it on our own. We're not out there on our own on this. And again, if you have any questions and you want to get back to us at SCARS, all you got to do is get on your computer and go to VOIP at voipnet.southcars.com with your questions, and we'll graciously return to you the answer. We'll come back to you on that. My voice is going up and down because I'm turning my head to put the things away. I shouldn't do that. I should keep looking as I am, same direction. Now, next week, I'm not sure about a Gordon for next week. Does the PSK31 have spell check? No. You're the spell check. What you do is you delete the letters. You go back and delete and correct your spelling. But a lot of guys, it's just they don't know what they're spelling. We have some words come out looking pretty weird, but we kind of understand each other. Yeah, there is no spell check on the PSK31. But you just go back and correct it or just leave it go. Keep on flowing. Going with the flow. Letting it drop. This coming Sunday and this coming Tuesday, we're looking forward to KY6 Victor Gordon should be the instructor, and also Kathy again, K6SUN, should be back with us next week, next Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and then again on Tuesday to close out these 8 sessions of the general class. This is the South Coast Amateur Radio Service, and we've been doing questions out of the general pool. Now, I know the questions changed this year, but when I look back at the older book of questions, the same questions. They've just changed numbers. They've rearranged them, but I did not. Maybe you would find. I didn't find anything that was added. I didn't see anything new. I just saw that they moved things around. They moved groups. So whatever floats their boat. They just don't want to keep it too boring, being exactly the same. I'm looking at a black dog and a white dog going past. It's like two dogs of the same kind of animal. Pretty neat going by my window. Okay, anybody have any questions about what we've done thus far or about next Sunday and next Tuesday? Any questions? Please go now. Okay, as we normally do, we've got recordings going, so Kathy needs a few moments to turn the recorders off. So let's go quiet until Kathy says it's clear. We're going to go quiet now so that Kathy can close the recordings. This is KD0CDQ.
This has been the South Cars Outreach Program. Join us again next time for another an-hour series of training sessions for amateur radio operators. Goodbye for now.